people's attention to the fact that your whole Bible is framed within a covenant context, all of it. Amen. You've got an Old Testament. You've got a New Testament. The actual word testament is covenant in the Greek. The actual word for testament in the Old is it's both covenant. It's an old covenant and a new covenant. Say it with me. Old covenant, new covenant. Amen. When Jesus said this is the New Testament, the actual Greek says this is the new covenant. It's much clearer than what we may just look at. My dad just made a last will and testament. If he were a millionaire, I would be extraordinarily blessed. But my dad is I thought was going to leave me an old Cadillac, but it gave up the ghost. So I'm not going to become rich when my dad passes away. My riches are in the legacy that he left me of faith, that he exposed me to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He dragged me to church. Is anybody here ever? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. We might get too many of them. But there was a time when he had to drag me. He dragged me to church until I discovered girls. I went through puberty, and I discovered there were girls at church, and they were pretty. And then I decided, you know, it's fun to go to church. Come on, let's go. Put on my little bow tie. You should have seen me. I was a knockout. I said was, so don't judge me now. This was back in the day. Amen. And that's what motivated me to go. But at 12 years old, while I had spent the whole service, you know, making goo-goo eyes, and y'all remember how that works, amen. You look over, you're passing notes, making googly eyes at girls. And that was, I was oblivious to the whole service. They sang and they preached and they did all the adult things, but I was there for a whole different agenda. And, 12 years old, you just, you know, your hormones just kicking in. And I'm realizing that, you know, girls are different and that the difference is good. And when a girl said, I like you, and sent me a note that said, I like you, or somebody else sent a note on behalf, so-and-so likes you, all of a sudden you're just elevated, and you feel up on that top level. Amen. And that night, I am convinced of the power of the Holy Spirit. I am convinced that I can preach all day long, but if the Spirit of God doesn't get a hold of somebody in an audience, even with the Word of God coming under the anointing, amen, I have a partner that I am absolutely, totally dependent on. Last funeral we ministered, he showed up and he showed out. Praise God. Amen. And people stood up and interrupted me, and I wasn't making some big grand altar call. Amen. I was just lifting up Jesus and talking about to live as Christ, to die as gain. And what we gain as Christians, what we have to look forward to, that death cannot cancel. And people begin to stand up in that audience and say, I want to reaffirm my faith in Jesus Christ. And one lady gave her heart to Jesus Christ, came forward to pray the sinner's prayer. Praise God. Amen. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. I'll never forget that little church I was in. We're going to get into this covenant message because that first exposure to the gospel, I didn't know what I really needed to know, but I knew God was real. I knew he had convicted me of sin and called me to salvation, and I knew exactly who the Savior was at 12 years of age. Because the service was almost over, and that meant that I could go home and read my little note again. And Dad always got a milkshake on the way home. It's kind of like giving a treat to your dog for doing the right thing. That was my treat. Amen. And we'd get a little milkshake on the way home. So I thought, church is over. It's milkshake time. And I had my mind now shifted from girls to milkshakes. At 12 years old, you can make that transition from the girl to the milkshake. It gets a little harder when you get 15. Can you say amen? Amen. 12, you can just shift right over to the milkshake. It's milkshake time now. Amen. And so I'm getting ready. I'm in the milkshake mode. I'm not in, you know, anything to do with the Lord. I'm in church. I reverence God. I know he's real. I haven't met him as my Savior, but I'm in the milkshake mode. And right in the milkshake mode, three women, we thought the service was over, but three ladies walked to the front of the church. And they walked behind the piano. The pianist came back to the piano and began to play. And the pastor said, because he had called them forward, a trio of three women, called them forward. And he said, there's somebody here that God is calling tonight. I thought this service was over, but the Lord said it isn't. God is calling somebody tonight. My initial thought was, well, I wish they would hurry up and answer God's call so I could go get my milkshake. Can you say amen? I want my milkshake. Amen. I've been quiet and good and not made much of a fuss through the whole service except googly eyes, you know, and that didn't interrupt it. So, and they begin to sing. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Over life's ramparts, he's watching and waiting. Waiting for you and for me. When they hit the verse, come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. Two things happened. Suddenly I realized I was a sinner. Not because I was passing notes or making googly eyes, but simply because I didn't know Christ as my Savior. I didn't have a big Sunday school theology background, but I knew I was a sinner. And I knew that I needed a Savior. And at that moment, amen, the Holy Spirit drew me to Jesus. I began to weep. Tears began to come down my cheeks. I got up out of my seat, made my way to an old altar of wood, knelt at that altar of wood and received Jesus as my personal Savior. What a mighty experience. It was never like that again in my life. I'll never forget it to the longest day that I live. We used to sing that Christian anthem, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul. I didn't even know my soul was burdened. In 12 years, how many burdens can you accumulate? But the burden of sin itself, of just being a lost sinner, was so heavy. When God let me feel it, let me sense it, conviction is not a negative thing. Can you say amen? It is the powerful, positive work of God in the human heart, amen, to convince us of our need for a Savior and at the same time to reveal that Savior to us. So I didn't know anything. I knew there was an Old Testament and the New Testament. And even in my early church life, no one ever brought the word to me in the context of covenant love. God made promises. He was holy. He stands by his word. But no one told me about the love that caused him to make that kind of commitment to us. And no one really separated the Old and New Testament in a covenant terms, and no one ever explained communion to me in covenant terms, and I just tried to boldly stand out on the Word of God and tried to through the strength of my own will sometimes just hold up my end of a commitment. And I didn't understand God's grip on me like I needed to, and there was tension in a lot of my walk with God. Amen. And I believe what the Lord wants to do today is he wants to capture our hearts. He wants to get our will committed to obeying him from the heart. Amen. Not as men pleasers or with eye service, but from the heart. That's the way he wants it. And he wants us to serve him out of love. And he wants us to begin to understand that his grip on us is the real keeping power in our life. Our commitment to keep our hand in his hand, you know, is essential to him gripping our hand. He won't keep our hand in his if we determine that we don't want him to. But if we want him to be the Lord of our life, and as much as we know within us, commit our life over to him, he's going to get a grip on you. It's a covenant grip. And it's in the framework of covenant and intimacy. And I want you to listen for some words to come out of this. I want you to listen for covenant. And I want you to listen for the seed. Everybody say covenant and seed. I want you to get those two words coming forth. This is in the book of beginnings. God said, if I'm going to have a relationship with man, I'm going to express my desire to be intimate with him. I want to establish a covenant. And when you hear that, I don't want you to think of a legal contract, because there's nothing more impersonal. How many has ever signed papers for a loan? You didn't get into a covenant. You got into a legal contract. Amen. Amen. Nothing to do with this word covenant here. This word covenant that I'm going to read you has to do with a friendship commitment. Everybody say a friendship commitment. when you start seeing things in here in terms of covenant, you're going to see it differently. When Jesus said, I haven't called you servants, but I've called you friends, that's covenant language. It's not just something, it's something that results from a covenant that is in force. The covenant didn't, God didn't do away with covenant between the Old and New Testament. Amen? He just moved from the Old Covenant to a new covenant that the Bible calls a better covenant because it's established on better promises. For the blood of Jesus speaks of better things than the blood of bulls and goats. Can you say amen? Amen. But it doesn't disannul the fact that God is a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. And that He keeps covenant, according to the Scripture, to 1,000 generations. Literally, it's open-ended. Amen? Everyone that makes this God their God comes under the covenant blessing. Amen? Amen? Everybody that makes this God their God comes under the covenant blessing. Praise God. And it's a faith-building thing. And not only faith-building, it's a heart-warming thing. Amen? Amen? Because there's love and friendship here. God wants more than just you saved to live in His heaven. God wants intimacy with you. He wants to be the best friend that you've ever had. And He called Abraham His friend because covenant, understood in the ancient times when two people became so close as friends, they made a covenant commitment to one another. And it was deep and it was binding. And it's like nothing that we know of in our contractual understandings of legal terms here in America. But in ancient times, everyone understood what covenants were all about. And that's why when Jesus began to talk in covenant language, they just embraced it. I mean, they just reached out by faith and grabbed that. Praise God. When He said, I haven't called you servants, I've called you friends, they said, Abraham was a friend of God. That's part of covenant talk. That's because we have a covenant relationship with Him. So these are not just promises in here in a holy book that we stand on by the force of our faith to receive. This is a God that we are in covenant with. Can you say amen? I remember when I started discovering this, I started talking to Him differently. And I'm not telling you how to talk to your God. I'm just telling you how it affected me. I would be at work, and there would be something going wrong, and our shift was always blessed because God blessed me because I prayed. And so people recognized the blessing on our shift. Amen. When I would be on vacation, the blessing left with me. And my boss couldn't wait for me to get back. And I hear people that didn't give God much credit. But when I would come back, they'd say, thank the Lord. You're back. Amen. Why? Because I prayed before every shift. And God blessed our shift. And He blessed me to do things that the maintenance men sometimes couldn't find. But just because I asked Him to bless me. And every time He would bless me with something to help get the job done, you know, then I would say, thank you, my covenant friend. And I just got in the habit of talking to God as my covenant friend. Not this God that's almost unapproachable in his heaven, but a God who I am in close, intimate contact with. That I can have a conversation with. Prayer became a conversation with God rather than some religious duty or responsibility. And it became spontaneous. It was hard for me to find. You've heard of the sweet hour of prayer? It was hard for me to find the sweet 15 minutes sometimes where I could really be in a place of my mind clear, my body not fatigued, my phone not ringing. But prayer became something that just became integrated into my whole life, not just something I did for 1 hour somewhere, but my whole life. You talk to Him. You just talk to Him. Amen. You just talk to God. Amen. We can make prayer something that is a duty, and after a while we feel guilty because we can't maintain the time that we want to invest, and after a while we just give up talking to Him except in times of extreme emergency. I read the other day that the average pastor prays about 15 minutes a week. His whole prayer life, when they filled out forms and sent them back, you know, you pray over before you preach. You pray a little prayer and you add the time up. And of course, you pray some prayers at the hospital if that comes up. But 15 minutes a week. No wonder we're so dependent on programs in the church. We're preaching sermons, but there's a spiritual battle has to be won for the souls of men. Can you say amen? And that battle is fought in a spiritual level. Amen. You can have all the PhDs. You can have so many degrees they call you Dr. Fahrenheit. Amen. Theologically. But until the Holy Ghost gets the hold of the heart. Amen. Nobody's going to really get saved and born again, delivered, set free, and come to Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So I said, Lord, I want to know more about this. I want to know more about this covenant relationship that you're talking about. Listen for these watchwords real quickly, and we're going to get into the covenant types in just a moment. But let's cover this, even if we have to finish the rest tonight. Let's cover this. Genesis chapter 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Now the moment he made a covenant with him, he, God, called the things not as though they were. He said, there's no way I'm not going to keep my covenant. So before there is a child born to bless through, I am going to change your name from Abram to Abraham. You're going to be the father of many nations. Have I made thee? He's talking in the past tense from the moment he establishes the covenant. He says, there's no way that it's not going to happen now. Amen. That's the strength of a covenant. He immediately begins to call the things not as what as though they were. Because there's no way God is not going to fail to keep his word. Can you say amen? Amen. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee. Everybody say seed. After thee, thy seed after thee, in their generations. That means every generation, this covenant is going to continue down the bloodline. Every succeeding generation. There's not going to be no generation and that is an exception. Amen. It continues on. For an everlasting covenant to be a God to thee and to thy seed forever. Now, I want to read another scripture. Turn with me to Galatians, because let's relate it to us. If we don't get it related to us, somebody's going to leave it back there. Let's bring it forward to where we are today. Are we a generation of Abraham's seed spiritually? Amen? Are we part of that generation? Let's clarify that in the Word of God real quickly. Then I want to show you how this works, amen, in prayer and faith and battle in warfare. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many's got any battles you face? Anybody ever face any battles as a Christian? Listen. The greatest victories in the Bible, that it looks like faith just came out of nowhere. I wanted to find out where that faith came from. When I saw people winning battles, angels coming to deliver them from mighty armies, I wanted to find out, where did the faith come from? Where did Jonathan and his faith and his armor bearer come from? Where did they get that kind of faith? Where they said it makes no difference to God to save by many or by few. Where did he come up with that? What did he base that on? Faith? Faith is based on the hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Well, what part of the Word was he focused on for that kind of faith to come up? I want you to understand the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer before we read from Galatians. Jonathan and his armor bearer were facing an army that was absolutely overwhelming to the armies of Israel, to the degree they were so hopelessly outnumbered that they literally went and hid themselves in caves and thickets. They were so disheartened by the sheer size of this army that they drew back and went and hid. This is the men of war. This is not the women and children and old guys. This is the men of war went and hid in caves and thickets rather than face this fierce, overwhelming army. And Jonathan looks at the same scene and his armor bearer. And Jonathan turns to his armor bearer and says, let's go expose ourselves to the enemy. Because it makes no difference to God, save by many or by few. Where did that kind of faith come from? Either this guy is loonier than Elmer Fudd, or else there's a literal, he has a reason for his faith. Well, he wasn't loony because, listen to the scenario. I want to, how many are intrigued by this kind of faith? You're looking at that in two people. The craziest thing you've ever, two people come out against an army that the armies of Israel are hiding from, and two men walk out and say, makes no difference to God, saved by many or by few. And then they said, let's see if God's will is that we go out there and they said if they got the high ground. So let's go expose ourselves. And if they say, you wait there till we come down to you, we'll know it's not God. We'll go on back and rehash our battle plans to see what the Lord does want. But if they say, come up to us, if they challenge us to come up to where they are, we'll know it's the Lord. Yes. Amen. So they walked out. And when they walked out, one of the watchmen with this great army waiting for Israel to come and fight looks down and sees two Hebrews standing down there looking up at them, waiting to hear what they have to say. And they said, well, the Hebrews have come out of their holes. Okay, they're just standing there saying, okay, what they say next is going to determine whether we climb up that hill to fight a massive army, the two of us. Where's that kind of faith coming from? They're standing there in confidence at the bottom of the... Oh, by the way, the armor bearer looked at Jonathan and said, all is in thine heart, do, for I am with thee. Next thing they said was, and I'm going to quote from the King James, come up to us. We'll show you a thing. Amen? And they started climbing to the high ground. This mighty army's... This captain of this army says, take 20 men and dispatch of them. 20 to 2, that's pretty good odds. 20 men ought to be able to handle two of these guys coming up here. If they want to die, if they've got a death wish, come on up. When they crested the top of the high ground, the Bible said at the first slaughter, everybody say it was a slaughter. You ever heard the term of a ball game where it's a football game and it's 52-0? What do they say? They slaughtered them. Amen. At the first slaughter, those 20 men lay dead. And something occurred. Something struck that army. This is not just two men that can really fight well. Amen. Something supernatural is occurring. We could fight those two men if it was just those two men, but their God is with them. And we can't fight Him. And an entire army is routed and running. Now, what I wanted to know was, where did that faith come from? If you don't get this study of the covenant, and there are people abusing this study, you're looking at somebody, I'm not going to abuse it. But I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Your Bible is separated by covenants. And Abraham's seed was going to be blessed forever into every succeeding generation there is on this planet. God said, that covenant I'm making with you. And what I want to tell you today is that the reason Jonathan had faith was he knew the covenant promise. And if you see all of this in the covenant framework and you understand that God didn't just, wasn't just a God over Israel. He was a friend to Israel. There's an intimacy. There's an absolute commitment of this great God to this little people. And their strength was in the commitment of their God to them. Can you say amen? They had to know God will honor His covenant. And it makes no difference if a whole army claims it or you and me claims it. That's what I love about the covenant. if everybody in here looks at me and you don't look sour at me, you're looking kind of sweet this morning, I'm going to hold on to that. That could change. We understand that depending on what I preach. Amen. But listen to me carefully. Amen. Listen, listen. If you look sour at me, if everybody in here totally rejected what I'm giving you today from the Word of God, did you know something? I can claim the covenant. Amen. Listen to me. I'm tired of waiting on everybody else to get revived before I claim revival. Amen. Revival I'm claiming because it's starting with me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If somebody else wants in it, come on, fine. But just because everybody else don't get in it, ain't going to stop me from enjoying it. I'm not accusing anyone. I'm just saying I'm not waiting around to see what anybody else is going to do. Why? Because it makes no difference to God to save by many or by few. Can you say amen? That's why we're not waiting to try to reach the world until we have a bigger building and a bunch more people. We're going to say right now, here today, we're going to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ right out of this church, and we're not waiting for anything else to happen. We're claiming a covenant. And covenant blessings, hallelujah. People can be healed in this room. You don't have to be in a church of a great meeting somewhere with 10,000 people. You can be healed right here today because this is about a covenant. Amen? They had to know the covenant. They had to know the covenant. There's no way for that faith to come unless they were claiming a covenant. When you try to take their land, what do? They claim a covenant. Shammah. Shammah. Everybody say Shammah. He was working with a farm implement in a field of lentils. And the Philistines were gathered together as a troop. Amen. We've got a few Jewish farmers and we've got a Philistine platoon. Amen. Gathered into a troop of armed soldiers that came to steal from these few Jewish farmers. When they saw them come over the hill, these armed men, amen, they all broke and ran except Shammah. Is he another Looney Tune? Huh? Is he crazy? They're running for their life. He's standing in the field of lentils. What is his basis for his faith? Where's it coming from? I began to quiz God, and he said, I want you to understand when you know that you've got a covenant to claim, and you know it makes no difference to God to save by many or by few to keep that covenant, then it doesn't matter what the odds are because God is going to take up the fight. And if God takes up the fight, it's not your battle anymore, it's the Lord's. Can you say amen? Your faith begins to just reach out for victory like you've never reached out for victory. If you've ever lost a battle, you didn't let God fight it. You ask Him to help you win it. Can you say amen? Because God don't lose no battles. He don't tie no games. Praise God. He wouldn't be God if He could be defeated. This God is the God who made man. He's not a man-made God. There's a vast difference when He takes up the fight. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So the Bible said, and Shammah stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. And the Lord wrought a great victory. That meant He won because God took up the fight. Well, I said, where did that faith come from? I mean, I'm hearing faith and faith. Where did that faith come from? Where did it come from? Was he just there? No, faith always has a point of origin. Faith cometh. Faith cometh. Well, what word were they hearing? The old covenant. What was they claiming? The old covenant. Can you say amen? They were claiming the covenant. The man says, I'm the seed of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham is on me. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus talked healing factors into this. The New Testament, a woman is bent over with crippling arthritis or rheumatoid arthritis, and it has bent her until she has to walk like this to go to the temple. She's faithful to go into the temple. It's the Sabbath day. Jesus sees her coming in that condition, and He heals her, and she stands upright. And because it's on the Sabbath day and they want to nail him for something, they want to get him for working on the Sabbath day. By the way, it wasn't no sweat for Jesus to do that. Can you say amen? Jesus didn't break no sweat. Everybody say, Jesus didn't break no sweat. Bible said there was nothing made that he didn't make. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. He didn't have to work up some faith. He was God incarnate. Can you say amen? He created the universe. It wasn't no big deal to heal arthritis. Yeah, Arthur couldn't whip him. He'd given me and you a time some mornings, but not Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. And they said, what are you doing? Well, you're healing on the Sabbath day. Talking about the ox in the ditch. You love your animals more than people. Amen. And then he said this woman had a right to be healed. Based on a covenant. Jesus starts talking about a covenant. He said, if you got an ox in the ditch, you pull him out. On the Sabbath day, you don't let him stay in there and die. And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, ought not this woman what? A daughter of Abraham. The blessing is to the seed, into every successive generation. And there stands Jesus. Back in Genesis, God comes into covenant with Abraham. Jesus is standing there all those centuries later. Jesus is standing there saying, this daughter of Abraham has a right to claim covenant blessings. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Ought not this woman a daughter of Abraham? Listen, he speaks in covenant terms again. Amen. He talks of the covenant people under that blessing, the seed, amen, of Abraham. And he says it's not meet to take the children's bread, that belongs to them by covenant, that is provided for them by God by covenant, and give it unto dogs. And the woman with the daughter home vexed of the devil said, true, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Amen. And he resisted her again. She worshiped him again. And he says to her, go thy way. Anyway, go thy way. Go thy way. Thy faith has made her whole. Hallelujah. Great is your faith. Even she came into the covenant. A daughter of Abraham, children's bread. Again, covenant talk. It's almost like all the Old Testament stuff stopped when the New Testament began with a lot of people. And so we just took this covenant stuff with Abraham and relegated that to the Old Testament. We didn't see it. Following the seed, generation to generation to generation. And yet it did. It did. It did. Listen to it. Listen to it. Galatians chapter 3. And let's just begin with verse 7. Everybody that comes to Christ by faith, everybody that comes to Christ by faith, because Abraham believed God, it's an act of faith on his part, and it was imputed to him as righteousness, and God came into a covenant with him. And listen to what is being said in the New Covenant, the New Testament, Galatians 3, verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. In other words, everybody that comes to Christ by faith comes into that bloodline, spiritually speaking. Amen. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. In other words, I'm going to do it by continuing the covenant that I established with you and bringing them into that covenant. Verse 9 says, so they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Can you say amen? For as many, and I'm going to stop there. Let's just jump to 26. Verse 26 of the same chapter. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, once that happened. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. Amen. So that ancient blessing is perpetual to the seed. And no one, male, female, bond, free, Jew, or Greek, when you come to Jesus, you become part of Abraham's seed. Can you say amen? And if you become part of Abraham's seed, you become a participant in the blessings of Abraham. We're blessed with, right alongside, faithful Abraham. Because God established a covenant. Now I'm going to show you how this works in battle. There's so many instances, we don't have time for them all today. But I want you to turn with me. How many's ever heard the story of Jehoshaphat? Amen. Jehoshaphat. Amen. Say it with me. Jehoshaphat. Great jumping Jehoshaphat. Somebody used to say. I bet he did jump after this victory. Can you say amen? What? Where's this faith coming from? For two men to face an army that is so huge and fierce that all of Israel fled from and initiate a victory. Amen. Where did Shammah's faith come from? To stand his ground and God take up the battle and give a great victory because one man stood his ground. Well, he wasn't just standing to defend a pea patch. He was standing, amen, upon a covenant promise from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm glad that he's identified as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It means that he didn't just make this one-time thing with one guy here, and it's irrelevant to everyone else successively, but he keeps following the seed. Spiritually, we are the seed of Abraham, according to your Bible. Can you say amen? And we are blessed with faithful Abraham. Praise God. That's why, amen, how many years was that from Abraham to when Jesus was standing there? We're talking somewhere around 42 generations. This is huge amount of time. And yet he said this daughter of Abraham can claim that ancient blessing right here, right now. And the children's bread was there for them all along. But when people quit claiming it, the covenant, then that faith to stand and see these mighty things happen diminished. Now we're just basing our faith because it's in a book. The book is a covenant. Can you say amen? We need to get covenant-minded again. It's so much easier to stand on a promise that's based on a covenant of a God who says, amen, that I will keep my covenant to 1,000 generations. Praise God. Amen? That's where their faith came from. They understood and proved God by claiming the covenant. Can you say amen? Makes no difference to God to say by many or by few is the musings of a madman unless he knows the covenant. If he knows the covenant, he said, that's a reality. Come on. God wants to win this battle, but he needs somebody to claim the covenant to do it. Amen? So if you and I go up and expose ourselves, God is going to fight for us. Hallelujah. It's covenant stuff. Well, Jehoshaphat, you know the story of that when they sent the choir out? Where'd that faith come from? How did Joshua stand against this three armies that are unified to destroy Israel and they send the choir out? Can you say amen? They send the singers out. Where'd that come from? You want to read it and see where it came from? There are people sitting in here today. Listen, there are people that abuse this message. Amen, and turned it into something that we can manipulate God, but it's not for that purpose. But if we don't get a hold of this message, next time you lay hands on the sick, you'll just be doing it, trying to do something as an act of faith. Your faith has to be hinged to something. Amen. And it has to be hinged to something that God honors. Can you say amen? God honors His Word because His Word is underpinned and framed within covenant. No place in here He's not talking in covenant terms. New covenant, old covenant, but always covenant. Christ is the mediator of a better covenant established on better promises. Can you say amen? But covenant is there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to read chapter 20, and let's look at. I want you to watch for how the covenant comes into this and the faith that comes by claiming it. Came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some, this is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I'm reading this episode. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon-Tamar. And that's how it sounds out as I, with the hyphenated, Hazazon-Tamar, which is in Egedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah came they to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, I want you to listen to what he said. O Lord, God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? In other words, aren't you the Almighty God, none greater than you? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Now you would think that would be enough right there. But you see, that's who God is. He acknowledges this is who you are. But to get this God with all of this might to bring all of that to bear upon their present situation, he has to go beyond just acknowledging God is almighty. Amen? Amen? So what he says next is vital to victory. Everybody say vital to victory. Listen to it. That's why we've got to get this teaching of covenant down inside of us if you want victory in your life. Can you say, man, if you want to live any differently than the world about you, if you want to attribute everything to God's sovereignty that happens to you, whether you stand in faith or not, that's your privilege to do that. But God in his sovereignty has established a covenant. Amen. That's why the Bible said, there be any sick among you, call the elders. Anytime, any place, doesn't matter. Amen. You're covenant people. This is a covenant promise. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Those of you that can't say amen, would you try saying amen? It's in your Bible. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. Listen, this is in your Bible. You can't lay hands on somebody if you don't understand the covenant and pray in faith. This is not just a matter of using Jesus' name. This is a name that you're allowed to use because a covenant has been cut. Can you say amen? Without the covenant, you have no right to use the name of Jesus. But because of the covenant, you have every right to use that name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the next part of this? Verse 7 says, art thou not our God? Not just the God, but our God. Who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham. And listen to the intimacy here. Thy friend forever. Can you say, man? Everybody say, thy friend forever. When Jesus said, I haven't called you servants, I've called you friend, he's talking covenant talk. The first time that God ever allowed himself to be called the friend of anybody on this earth. The God, yes, but the friend, that's a whole different dimension. There's an intimacy. There's a personal commitment involved in friendship. Can you say, man? I have not called you servants, but I have called you friends. Can you say amen? Why? Because you're Abraham's seed now. Amen. And Abraham was called the friend of God, and we are blessed with who? Faithful Abraham. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. That's why Jesus is my covenant friend. He is my God, he's my Lord, he's my master, but he's also my covenant friend. This great God of heaven and earth has come into covenant with his children. And he wants you to acknowledge him as such. Abraham was called the friend of God. What a difference it is to have an intimate, personal relationship with someone who says, I'll never leave you and I will never forsake you, but I'll go with you all the way, even unto the end of the age. Can you say amen? And lo, I'm with you always. They went and preached the gospel, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. That's all covenant stuff. It's all the result of a covenant. Just jump down to verse 11. Listen, for time's sake. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast out thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, will not thou judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh out against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. What a terrible confession. Today they're going to teach people to never make that confession. Amen. We always know what to do. We just stand out there on our faith because the Word of God says it, and we just stand on it. Amen. We're not intimate with God. Amen. We're not bowed before Him. We're not confessing our weakness before Him. When I'm weak, then am I made strong. What's He doing? He's confessing the truth. We don't know what to do, but we're not hopeless. We don't have no might to win this battle, but we're not hopeless. Can you say amen? We don't have a battle plan. We don't have a clue, but we're not hopeless. Our eyes are on you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. By the way, He'd already told him, you gave this land to Abraham and his seed forever. Can you say amen? So they're claiming a covenant here. Verse 13 said, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. What a moniker he's got. Amen. Came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king of Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude. From this moment forward, the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say the covenant. The covenant. The covenant. The covenant. Their faith came from understanding and appropriating a covenant blessing that was theirs by virtue of being the seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Every time at work I would call God my covenant friend, I would feel the warmth and the tenderness, the intimacy of that relationship. It was more than just a great God that inhabits the heaven and a guy down here that's such a strong will that I'm going to just get out on that word because he's a mighty God and the word is true. Now, I've got a covenant friend. I've got someone who made a deep commitment unto me. Can you say amen? Some of you need to get in touch with a covenant friend. You got just enough religion to make you look serious. But you don't look happy, fulfilled, joyous, and victorious. There's a difference in having just enough of God, amen, to make you look so serious. Amen, but not make you, yeah, you know what I'm alluding to, but not make you look happy, joyous, peaceful, powerful in Jesus Christ, confident and competent. Can you say amen? Knowing that the battle is the Lord's because you're claiming a covenant that God Himself has committed Himself to you through. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. It is amazing when they acknowledge we don't have a plan and we don't have the strength that the Spirit of God rose up and said, you don't have to have a plan and you don't have to have any strength of your own. You've got a God who's taking up the fight. Wow. In biblical thinking, covenant's a very sacred word. Western thinking, it's a casual concept. Not understanding, appreciating, appropriating covenant means that you will live your life, most of it, win a few, lose a few. One step forward, two steps back. The only way to win a battle is, having done all, stand. He stood in the midst of the field, claimed covenant promise. And when he stood on that covenant promise, the Lord brought great victory. Everybody say, the Lord brought a great victory. Everybody say it again, the Lord brought a great victory. Can you say, man, the focus wasn't on the man standing, but the God honoring. Hallelujah, that simple act of faith. But he wasn't standing in blind faith. He was standing in a clear understanding that I am a seed of Abraham. And this land was given to us by covenant. Not just to Abraham, but to his seed forever. I'm part of that bloodline. I have a right to stand here. That's why you have a right to call for prayer. It has nothing to do. This is covenant stuff. This is part of the covenant. Just sit down. Amen. It's there for you to read. Can you say amen? It's called the new covenant when you open up that Bible. Praise God. Amen. So if there be any sick among you, call on the elders. Why? You're Abraham's seed, and the blessing of Abraham have come upon you. And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, be set free? Praise God. He claimed the covenant, said she's got every right to be healed today, because this is a covenant God has. He told Israel, as part of that covenant, amen, when he brought them out of Egypt, he said, listen, I'm going to bless your food. I'm going to bless your drink. And I'm not going to put any of the diseases on you that I have put on Egypt. Most of the time he's called something by man because of the way God acts. This time God is naming himself that we might better understand him. For I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the God that healeth thee. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Wicked captain of a wicked army that has a Hebrew girl conscripted to be his slave and servant in his house contacts leprosy. She knows, I'm part of the seed of Abraham. Amen? We serve a God that blesses us. And we're not like the other nations. Can you say, man, this is not a haphazard, hit-miss thing. We got a God who we can count on, depend upon, pray, who commits himself in love to his people. And this guy is ostracized from his house. He has to cry unclean. He can't interact with anybody else. All of his wealth, all of his status means nothing because he's a leper. And you know, she feels sorry for him. She has compassion on him. And what does she tell him? She said, the God of Abraham, the God of the Hebrew people, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there's a God in Israel that can heal you who are called incurable. This is not a Pentecostal doctrine that came up with out of the Azusa Street revival because we had too much pizza after church. Can you say amen? This is a blessing. Establishing the first book of the Bible and continues throughout the entire book. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. To the seed. There's a God in Israel. And he's known as a physician. He's known as a deliverer and a healer. If you go down there to the prophet's house, he'll make an introduction, amen, to this great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's no hopeless cases with him. No one is incurable with him. Can you say amen? I believe God is going to bring back something that the church has long lost, and that is a manifestation of his covenant promises to his covenant people. Can you say amen? Woo! There's daughters of Abraham in this room. There's sons of Abraham in this room. There's seed in this room. And you can't disqualify yourself because you're male or because you're female or because you're Jew or because you're Greek or because you're bond or because you're free. Can you say amen? When you receive Jesus, you come under this overarching covenant. Hallelujah. That's why the covenant people in the congregation says, if I walk in there, it don't have to be a healing anointing. There don't have to be an evangelist with a healing anointing. It don't have to be a healing flow in the service. If I've got a need, all I need to do is lay my claim on my covenant and call the elders of the church. Amen. I'm Abraham's seed. Hallelujah. The oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' name is the name that we been given power of attorney to use to establish his covenant. But it's got to be based on covenant. Covenant. That's why Shama stood. He said, God's going to honor his covenant if I stand on it. Yeah, but you're the only one. Well, it doesn't matter. If I claim it, he'll honor it for me. If the whole army of Israel claims it, he'll honor it for them. But it doesn't matter to him. He keeps his covenant to 1,000 generations. What is it from Genesis? I got to do the math. Is it 4,000 years since Genesis? 2,000, 6,000, 4,000 to the time. It was 4,000 years when Jesus was standing there talking about the daughter of Abraham. It had been 4,000 years. 4,000 years. And he says the covenant is intact. She's a daughter of Abraham. That's her basis for claiming what I just gave her today. And he was chiding them. He was saying, you're arguing about it being Sunday. You ought to be laying hands on that woman. She's got a right. You're not telling her about her covenant privilege as a child of the living God and having a being Abraham's seed. Now, if we were not brought into this as a wild olive branch grafted in, that would be meaningless to us. That would have to do with people that are indigenous to Israel itself and the Jewish lineage. But when Jesus came, something happened. The Bible said he has made us one. And the middle wall of partition. What partition was that? That separated Jew and Gentile covenant from people who didn't have a covenant. That's why the woman that didn't have a covenant that approached Jesus and didn't have a covenant to claim, he said it's not meet to take that is the covenant people's children's bread that belongs exclusively to the covenant people and give it to dogs. She said, true, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Amen. And he gave her a covenant blessing. Can you say, man, he brought her under the covenant? That wall came down, let her come in by faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, I believe God is going to restore the covenant blessings to his covenant people. Amen. That he might show the strength of his covenant. Amen. Let them know the difference between the gods who are no gods and the living and the true God. He confirmed the word with signs following. They were covenant promise signs. Can you say amen? When the sick were healed, it's Jehovah Rapha manifesting himself to keep his covenant. You know the reason there was such a revival in Lakeland, the hopes got so high and the leader of it fell. You know about that. It's common knowledge. Because so many, there's a vacuum of spiritual manifestation and power. Amen. We're living on past reputation instead of present day manifestation. Can you say amen? I said we're living in the Pentecostal realm on past situations that are not present day manifest. And there's such a vacuum. There's so many people in need. So many covenant people in such desperate straits. If you hear of a little outpouring anywhere, people come by the dozens. They fly from other countries to get involved in it because the church has become something. We're so good at what we do. Amen. We in Pentecost can grow big churches and we can develop programs that'll blow you away. Can you say amen? But if you've got a child with cancer, you've got a big problem. You've got a big issue because we don't have a program for getting that child healed anymore. And in some of the biggest mega churches that are going out there today claiming Pentecostal power, I would have died before I was 9 years of age with leukemia, cancer of the blood in advanced stage. But thank God there were people in a church, whether knowing it or not, they were claiming something that God would honor. A covenant blessing to use the name of Jesus to lay hands on the sick. If there be any sick, let them call. The elders of the church, let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. We talked about that name last Sunday morning and how we have authority to use it. Can you say amen? The prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. I don't know who prayed for me. I don't know his name. He was an evangelist, an itinerant evangelist who went from church to church. I do not attribute it to his anointing because it was not his exclusive anointing that healed me. The Lord... The Lord, the Lord. But there was a name I never forgot. It's indelibly imprinted upon my heart. Amen. I knew it before, but I didn't know it in the power and the authority of it until cancer left my body at 8 going on 9. And it's the mighty name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He said, everything I'm doing to bless natural Israel, I'm doing because they have a covenant. He healed that woman because she's the daughter of Abraham. He initially refused to heal him because the Gentiles hadn't yet been grafted in nationally. But personally, she worshiped him and he brought her into the covenant. But it was children's bread. Children's bread. Children's belonging to the children, exclusive to the seed. Can you say amen? Children of who? Children of Abraham. Who are the children of God, but he blesses them through a covenantal commitment. Everybody say a covenantal commitment. Praise God. Ought not this woman? That's why when someone comes down, you're a daughter of Abraham and you come down, my faith is in a covenant-keeping God to keep his covenant to you. That's why a prayer of faith is offered, not just a force. See, when faith is just a force, it hinges on nothing. It just kind of floats around inside you. It's almost like Eastern psychology and a blending of New Age with the true gospel. Faith has a clear, concise object. It's not just a force, and if I got enough of it, I can get you healed. No, my faith is in the one, hallelujah, whose name is Jehovah Rapha, and whose name is absolutely epitomized in the name of Jesus. All the ancient names of God are summed up in Yeshua HaMashiach. Can you say amen? One name that encapsulates all the names by which God is revealed to us. Hallelujah. He's the Prince of Peace. He's our banner in battle. Glory to God. Let me finish real quick. You are my covenant people. I stand ready to move in your midst, in your behalf, to show you my glory by delivering you, setting you free, healing you, raising you up, declaring through you to a gainsaying world that I am the true and living God, and that you have a God, and that I have a people, and that I am your God, and you are my people, saith the Lord. Are we going to be able to theologically convince the world that Christianity is right and Islam is wrong? Is it just a matter of theology in conflict? I believe we need a power encounter. I believe we need to let the God who answers by fire or by manifestation be declared the true and living God. Every time there was a power encounter, it said, and I know the devil can mimic God, but God's power. See, we've so suppressed the manifest presence and the manifest power. We believe since we have the Bible, we don't need God to manifest. Honey, it's because we've got a Bible that we need God to manifest. We need a confirmation of this word by the God who this word declares to us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible doesn't do away with God. It brings him to the forefront. It points us to him. It declares that he's in the midst of us when we gather in his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. If this mighty God is in the midst of us, then mighty things should be happening. Amen. Taking place to indicate this mighty God is here with us. Praise God. When we pray, things ought to happen. Praise God. Mighty things should be taking place. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Man with that kind of standing. What does it accomplish? Much. Someone said it's mighty in its working and in its power. Everybody say much. We're talking about much when God is involved. Not what we can do, but what he can do. That kind of much. That's better than anything we can pull off. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And our puny efforts comparatively. God is a mighty God. But it's not enough to declare him to be the mighty God. Amen. We've got to understand, amen, that we have a covenant with him. You gave this land to Abraham and to his seed. And this is our inheritance. They're trying to dispossess us of what we own by covenant. Can you say amen? So immediately, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Immediately, the prophet stands. The battle's not yours anymore. The battle is God's. God will keep his covenant with you by defending you, no matter what the odds. I love it when I hear the Holy Spirit speak to me. When I take my stand in any situation and I hear the Holy Spirit speak to me, the battle is no longer yours. I wouldn't have burned out and went through nervous exhaustion for 10 years. Amen. If I had understood and appropriated what I'm preaching to you right now. So many of those battles I got emotionally, mentally involved in. And it wasn't mine to get involved in. If I could hold my peace. I don't mean confessing the truth about God. But I'm talking about trying to get it all, you know, and let the Lord fight my battle. Victory, victory shall be mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holding my peace is worse than wrestling with the devil. Just holding my peace becomes my biggest problem. Praise God. But if I can just hold my peace. Amen. Cry out to him and hear him speak to me. The battle is not yours. The battle is mine. Then that, you know what that means? Then the battle is won. Before the fight starts. If the battle is his, the battle's won. Praise God. Before the fight starts. Somebody say before the fight even starts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Would you stand up and give God praise in this room? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I pray for anybody for anything. And I lift up this bottle of oil. I want you to know your preacher understands. If you're a Christian, you're coming to receive children's bread. We're not coming to twist God's arm, to see what he will do or if he will do anything. We're coming to receive children's bread. Can you say amen? We're coming to claim covenant promises. We are the seed of Abraham. And we are blessed with faithful Abraham. Can you say amen? Where there's neither Jew nor Greek. He's torn down the middle wall of partition. And he's made us one. Jesus will never say it's not meet to take that is to the indigenous people of ancient Israel and give it to you. He will say, I see no difference between you and them once you come to him. Can you say amen? Say that with me. God sees no difference between me or them because I came to him. Jesus Christ. Say Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't that an incredible thing today? Praise God, hallelujah. Amen and amen. My dad was Abraham's seed. He didn't realize that. He didn't know the mechanics of it. He just knew that he was desperate to get me healed or lose his only son. They told my mama that she would never have another child, and that came to pass. And that if I was to be born through the natural process, actually through cesarean, if they didn't just go ahead and kill me and abort me, and that's a day when they didn't do that lightly. It was a day when it was a major, major thing to decide. My mother's life was in jeopardy because I was turned wrong in the womb. I remember the morning that, realizing that all of my life, that we went to pray for a lady in our congregation who was just about to the time of delivery, and the baby was turned wrong in the womb, completely opposite. And she was concerned about that. They were not just concerned about having a cesarean instead of a normal birth. They were concerned about the fact that the umbilical cord, because the baby had turned around, had become constricted. And if oxygen stopped to the baby would die in the womb. That was their concern. She came to a Sunday morning service. My wife and I stepped off of the platform and went to pray for her. And both of us at the same time saw in the spirit. Now, this is, I don't know about Superman's x-ray vision and how that works or anything. Amen. That he could see through walls. And I didn't see into her womb in the natural and seeing through the wall of the womb. But in my mind's eye, stronger than anything I could see with my natural eyes, up here somewhere, I saw a baby turn like that in the womb as we prayed. My wife saw it. The same thing at the same time. And we're not given to, some people see things every single day. Every day of their life, they're seeing all of these things. Well, I've got a word for them. Amen. It's, blessed are you because you've seen and believed. But more blessed are the rest of us who haven't seen but just as convinced as you are. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. But God let us see it. He let us see it in the spirit. And that baby turned around. Amen. And my wife cried out, and she never does this. She's not giving it. She said, I saw that baby turn around. I said, honey, I saw it too. Everybody rejoiced. Next day we got a word when they went back and they did the sonogram. The baby had turned completely around in the womb. Amen. No umbilical cord wrapped around. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's covenant stuff. God honoring the covenant. Praise the Lord. And you see, when you get faith in the covenant, it's not about how great your faith is. It's how committed God is to keeping the covenant. Shammah just stood on the covenant. There's no record of him having great, great, great faith. But he understood and appropriated something anybody, any of those people could have done. Can you say amen? See, sometimes when great things happen, we say, well, if I had that person's faith, it could happen for me. Well, this is not about that person's faith. It's about the God that is in covenant. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe that the Lord is going to confirm that when Jesus is exalted, when we lift up his son like he's lifted up his son, I believe we ought to lift up Jesus just like God did. How many believe preachers ought to be lifting up Jesus just like God lifted him up? How did God lift him up? Said he's highly exalted him. Given him a name which is above every name that's named, of things in heaven and things on earth and things beneath the earth, that at the sound of his name every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he's Lord, to the glory of God. Of things in earth, heaven, and yes, down in the netherworld, there's not an unbelieving, there's spirits of unbelief, but there's not an unbelieving devil. Can you say amen? They just try to make us not believe. But believe me, hell is filled with faith. Can you say amen? They know who God is. They know who Jesus is. There is no doubt in a devil's mind. Hallelujah. If you, the devils believe and tremble at what they know to be true. Can you say amen? We need to believe and rejoice in what we know to be true. Hallelujah. Let the devil tremble. Let the church rejoice. Hallelujah. Do you have let God arise? Or do you have that? Praise God. And his enemies be scattered. Every time they picked up the ark, they claimed covenant promises. Every single time. When they put the poles through the loops in the sides of that ark, and the sons of Levi got under it and picked it up, They said the same thing every time it's recorded in the Psalms. Let God arise. It's all we need to win any battle. Just let God arise and His enemies be scattered. They'll come out against you one way. They'll flee before you seven ways. Praise God. This is why Israel had such victory. And this is why God's going to restore victory to His covenant people even in this day. Can you say amen? Let God arise. Over Korea even, that one. Praise God.